Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. My name is Sean, and next to me is my beautiful wife, Carrie Jones.
Sean is a former cop and now his own businessman, and this writing podcast is about writing.
What?
And life. And being quirky. We start with a random thought recorded somewhere in our house, oftentimes in our bedroom. And then we do a writing tip and a dog tip. Why do we talk about writing? Because I'm a writer.
Because Carrie Jones is an international and New York Times best-selling author. She knows a whole heck of a lot about writing.
But not about life.
Well, we do stumble through life quite a bit, and you'll experience that if you keep listening.
Let's start with a random thought.
All right, let's go, baby.
Hey, it's our first random thought of 2021.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Heck yeah.
It's a new year and a new you. What's that from? New year, new you. That's a weight loss thing.
Sounds
right?
Like it. Yeah. Definitely some sort of ad.
So we're transitioning from 2020. And the hellscape that it was to 2021 to see if it'll be a hellscape too.
I don't know. I think we should just focus on our own personal hellscapes and try to smooth them out this year.
Yeah, we got some hellscapes, man. Yeah. We're supposed to pretend everything's always happy and sunny. You know that, right? Like
what?
Like Instagram shiny.
Oh well, that's fine.
Everything's
for Instagram
all full
and social
of white
media,
light.
But anybody that's listening to this podcast and has kids knows that. You know, it's not a bed of roses all the time.
It's no bed of roses here.
In fact, at least half the time, you're just walking through the dried up dead rose bush thorns.
It's like old potpourri that's gone so bad and it just brittles out. Only like turns to this icky dust. But
there's bright spots.
Hopefully there'll be a transition to a better place soon.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yay! Hey, there's a happy way to start a podcast. I just read this story on Reddit, and this is my transition to something happier. I'm just letting you know. I just read this story on Reddit.
Yeah.
And it was about a grandma who reminded me of your grandparents a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the grandmother always gave these super whimsical presents. Yeah. Like they'd be like, "Can I have a guitar?" And they'd be like, and she'd be like, "Yeah." And then she'd give like a guitar that had like wood like carved into it and like burned and etches and
yeah.
Like, "Can I have some new sheets?" And she'd be like, "Of course." And it would be like tie-dye sheets.
Oh,
and
really?
Stuff. And so one of their cousins really wanted to be normal, and like he was like, "I just want cold hard cash." Right? And the Grammy was like, because she was a Grammy.
Right.
And she lived out in the woods, and she had like all this gardening tools and stuff and a giant freezer. So she put all these bags of money into a gardening pail.
Yeah.
And like layered ice on top of the money,
oh,
and then
nice.
Money, and then ice, and then money, and then ice, and it all froze solid. And according to the poster, like she brought his cousin, the bucket of ice that
cold
was like leaking
cash.
Like white stuff or something. And she's like, "Here's your cold hard cash,
that's
kid."
Funny.
And it ended up being like $1,000 in coins and stuff.
Oh, really?
I was like, damn.
That's right.
I want that Grammy.
Yeah.
I like the whimsical guitar, though, so.
I was thinking when you asked for cash, you got like $5 instead of a $50 present or something. You know what I mean?
No, it was much more exciting than that.
It sure was.
Way more exciting than
that. She was a thoughtful grandmother.
She was, but obviously a little bit annoyed right there.
You know, I was pretty lucky. When I think back,
yeah,
I never really had anybody in my family that, you know, gave you the handmade ugly sweater or something like that. So I lucked out.
Sweaters are beautiful.
There was a
handmade.
Short period of time when there was somebody in my family that took on an artistic whimsy and started giving out handmade stuff, but you know. They're still alive, so we won't mention any names. But
My Aunt Maxine always used to try to get me like toys that would make you smarter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, something from like the Smithsonian Museum or right. learning with blah, blah, blah. And like,
well, that's good.
Yeah, except I didn't want to be smarter. I just wanted a toy.
You just wanted a toy.
You know what I wanted? I wanted Legos, and I never got Legos.
You never got Legos?
No.
How could you never get Legos?
Because, A, they were too expensive.
Yeah, but they were the coolest toy ever.
Yeah, I was a girl, and they didn't think building was for girls.
Did you ever get any sort of building toys, like Tinker Toys or Lincoln Logs?
I begged forever, and I got Lincoln Logs, and you know who I got them from?
No.
Aunt Maxine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
That's cool.
Eventually, she became, like, by the time I was in high school, she was like, what do you actually want, Carrie, dear? And I'd be like, And I'd tell her records and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm old and we'd have records back then. I was very music focused as a child. Huh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. But that's a hard time in your life when you transition from kid presents to like grown up presents.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know, like when you suddenly don't have quite so many, if you have money and stuff, and you suddenly don't have quite so many presents under the tree, or all the presents are suddenly like, underwear and socks right. and clothes.
They're much more practical than
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Although some people love the clothes.
Some people do. Not me, man. I'm like, give me something to do.
Even as... Do some people like clothes even as children?
Yeah, like, Emily
like
did.
Not super young, but you know.
Yeah, the Emster did. Oldest daughter.
10, 13, I guess.
Oh, she's always been a fashionista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Writing Tip of the Paw.
Hey, we don't have a title for this podcast yet, man.
We don't?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm having a 2021. We're going to call it right now, Keeping It Sexy. And it's all about transitions, man, and writing transitions.
Oh, boy.
Because in life and in story, you have these things called...
Transitions.
Transition.
Nice job.
Transition. For all those like musical Fiddler on the Roof lovers out there. Transitions are places where things change. You go from like one place to another, from one scene to another, from one chapter to another, from one husband to another, not you baby, and one president to another.
Hmm.
Right? You know what a transition is, right?
Sure.
All right, like in real life, obviously.
Right,
so a really good transition is really just a bridge that helps a reader go logically from one section, scene, chapter to another without it being awkward, like a bad date, or without making their brain hitch where they say things like, we were just in space and now we're at Walmart. What the heck?
Do they have Walmarts in space?
Well, maybe someday. You know, I feel like Walmart will be in space. What do you think? Yeah, like
probably.
So like some people are amazing at transitions in real life and in writing, and some people have awkward transitions in real life and in writing, and some people refuse to acknowledge there even is a transition.
Really? How can you do that?
They just ignore the fact that they're transitioning.
Oh, like they just write.
Yeah.
Well, scene change.
There is no scene change. Like, you'll be reading, and you're like, in space, Walmart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you'll be like, what? And so it's important to understand transitions. But the thing is cool, because in life we have these transitions too, right? Like, you have like the moment when you need to pick your wedgie out of your butt.
That's a sudden transition. Although you might make it not so sudden by trying to put it off so you can be discreet.
Yes, and some people are amazing at that transition, trying to be discreet, picking their wedgie, right? And some people are really awkward about it.
Yeah.
And then some people refuse to acknowledge that there isn't even a need to transition from a wedgie butt to an unwedgie butt.
Yeah, I don't know how they can do that.
But anyways, in the writing world, you want your readers to understand what's going on. You want your transitions to be smooth, like Barry White's voice on your Spotify right before you do some Netflix and chill. So there's a bunch of transitional phrases that help and words that authors use to help make their transition nicer, like
a week later or whenever. At the same time, afterwards, for 2 weeks, days, minutes, whatever.
Meanwhile,
at night, the next day, she regretted the night.
Oh, that's not a transition.
The next night.
Like, we have that. We get it, right? Like,
oh, I can't finish?
There's a ton of those.
Can you go back just a little hair? Because yeah. At night, the next day, she regretted. The next night, and for a month, I cried into the phone.
In the morning, when the sun rose, I cried into the phone. The morning, when the sun set, I cried into the phone. No, we can put, I picked my wedgie. I picked my wedgie months past. Uh-oh. I picked my wedgie weeks past. When we got back to the office.
I picked my wedgie.
When they got back home.
I just took my pants off.
As they neared the date site.
Oh, perfect.
So those are examples of phrases that show us a time, and here are some that show us a change in location, right?
They boarded this train
and picked their wedgie
down the street.
They picked their wedgie
all the way down the street.
We are like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Over by the water cooler.
Up on the third floor of the office.
They picked their wedgie.
Back in my living room.
They picked my wedgie.
The motorcycle was situated.
Where I picked my wedgie.
She ran fast through the dark alley.
Picking her wedgie. Okay, I gotta stop. But you can do it.
Huh?
You can do the last.
In the hall of the hospital and outside on my front lawn.
There you go. And so on. There's a lot of transitional phrases that you can use. Picking your wedgie. Oh no, I snorted.
An infinite amount of phrases.
Alright, so I'm sorry we're not a more refined and dignified podcast.
We're not refined at all.
Yeah, man. So, there are a lot of examples of all of these all over the internet, right? Like, but we just wanted to give you a quick listen to them. Those transitional phrases that you can use as an author.
That's right.
Right.
Sorry, I got off on a sidetrack.
Okay, so sometimes, though, us writers tell our readers too much in a transition, right? Like, you can have a lack of a transition, and sometimes you can have too much transition.
Right.
And it ends up sounding like a script or stage directions, and these are things that slow the narrative down and just read, like, kind of awkward or stilted.
Right.
So it'd be a sentence like...
When I arrived at the elevator to go up to the office on the fourth floor... I pushed the button to close the door and rode it to the floor.
So what's wrong with that, boo? Like,
well, they apparently rode the door to the floor.
That wasn't what the point was, but yes, thank you.
There's just too much detail in there, right?
Yeah, like, but steps. It's like too many steps. Like, it's like
things that you would know would happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know the door's going to close. Or else you're going to have to talk about the elevator being broken.
Yeah, you know that they push the button and like, right. Do we really need to see them in the elevator if there's nothing happening in that elevator, right?
Yes.
So, here's another sentence, similar.
They drove to the restaurant and waited in line for their table and she hummed a little bit.
I do like the hummed a little bit part, but those like, they just don't do anything, right? We don't need to see you go from place to place. Think of it like a movie cut, and most of the times we don't see them walk into the bathroom and shut in the door unless it's an important scene in the bathroom where they're gonna cry on the toilet or something.
Right.
Or a monster's gonna come out of the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You know something's gonna happen in a horror movie if you're in a bathroom. Anyways, you just or in real life.
Sometimes horrible things happen in bathrooms in real life.
Oh, no. Okay, so instead, you just want the transition between scenes or places or locations to just get us there closer to that juicy part of the scene, right?
Right.
So an example would be, like, for a transition to a restaurant would be...
20 minutes later, they were sitting at their table, playing footsie under the fancy white linen tablecloth, when the giant hedgehog with a man bun stormed through the wooden doors...
Whoa, what just That's happened?
Freaky.
Yeah, man. Imagine that. I would add the giant hedgehog with a man bun and wedgie stormed through the wooden doors. Or I would say when the giant hedgehog with a man bun stormed through the wooden doors and yelled, "Everyone, wedgies, now!"
No? What's your fascination with wedgies today, Libby?
It increases our SEO.
Do you have a bad pair of underwear?
No, but if I can put the word wedgie in our title for our podcast, more people listen. So, yeah.
Amazing.
I know. I'm crafty.
You are crafty.
So, They listen, but then they're gonna be like, what the heck? Don't you think? All right. But...
Well, I'll be amazed. They have to listen very carefully to learn.
But all the podcast notes are on CarrieJonesBooks.blog. And if you look up Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast, you can see the notes. So anyways, places like these are bad examples. Like, the bad examples, not the hedgehog example, because that was awesome.
That was awesome.
Are not really needed because, one...
It doesn't really add to the story.
Two...
It doesn't really add to the character.
Three...
It's unnecessary information, and we all hate unnecessary information.
Yeah, man. Who wants to hear blah, blah, blah? So you really only want things in your story that do the following. One...
Show your character's inner state, characterization, or choices.
Two.
Move the plot forward.
And three.
Set the reader in the moment.
So, story is all about characters making choices and being proactive and moving things forward and showing us who they are by those choices and their dialogue. So you want to focus on getting the reader to those scenes where people interact and the character has to make the choice that either goes towards or against their main wants. Effective transitions help get us there, but also ground the reader in the moment and the time of the story in a logical, cool way, even if it's about wedgies and giant hedgehogs.
Nice job, huh?
Yeah, man. And that's your writing tip.
So I was thinking about the word refined.
Oh, yeah.
When you said, sorry, we're not more refined.
We're raw sugar.
Well, no, I was like, what does refined actually mean? Because I don't want an answer until after
you just asked a question.
Until after you've heard my problem with the word refined. Mm-hmm. Because RE means like redone, to do again, or something. Like a refried. So this is where my head went. Okay. R refined is like refried. Because you're taking a perfectly good bean.
Yeah.
And you're killing it. But you're adding stuff to it. And yes. You're mashing it. And you're making it better.
Yeah.
So even though it's kind of ugly, once it's been refined, it's much better. So our finery might not look good outwardly, but it's much better once it's been refined by us.
But you don't, well, that's the point. Like, so refined is obviously re always is like that prefix, right? Uh-huh. So refined means to make fine or delicate or redo. Like, it's like a, when I think of someone who's refined, mm-hmm. I think of someone who has focused and pointedly upon their manners and make sure that they are not raw sugar, but are instead nice little gentle grains of sugar. You know what I mean? Like, they're refined.
It's simply a social class word.
It's just like the bean.
Fine wasn't good enough for the hoity-toity, so they had to make it refined. The fried bean wasn't good enough, so they had to make it refried.
Yeah, yeah, that works. I like it. That works really well, but I think it originally meant subtle or elegant and then purified, the etymology of it.
That's fine.
All right. There you go. That was our attempt to be a bit refined, wasn't it?
No. Oh. Not at all. Not from me. Maybe from you. I'm sorry. I was trying to justify our lack of refinery.
Oh, my goodness.
Or refinication.
Refinification?
Yeah.
That's not a word, baby.
Well, neither is refornication. But if you do it more than once, that's what you have. A refornication.
Okay. Alright. There we go.
Dog tip for life. Life, life. No scratching while the recorder's on. Love.
I was gonna scratch my elbow. Like yes. A dog. Dogs that's right. Scratch things.
And the dogs try to tell you not to. Don't chew your fur if you don't have to.
They're not refined dogs.
But Sparty is pretty refined when it comes to transitioning.
How so?
Well, as an example, when you walk through the pantry and he's sound asleep on the sofa, but he hears you open the pantry door and he has no idea of what you're doing in there, but he knows you're inches away from the dog treats. So if you're paying attention, You can hear him slink off of the couch real quietly. Slink. And then you'll hear the tap, tap, tap. As he wanders into the room. And just kind of appears there. It's just a subtle scene change, but you know immediately where you are.
So the point, right, is like, don't be afraid of the transition, man.
Yeah.
Go into it. You don't want everything in the same place at the same time. You want new experiences in life.
And just like everything else in writing, you can always doctor it later and make it better.
Yeah.
Because Gabby, she's not so good at transitions.
Yeah.
She'll be sleeping, and then all of a sudden she'll raise her head and snarl.
She's really bad.
And then she'll go back to sleep.
She snarls in her sleep. It's like, she's like, there could be a threat. Snarl, snap.
For some genres of books, that might be like a jump scare is a fine transition.
Yeah, but... man, but in life, oh, we woke her up. But in life, you don't want to do that, right?
No.
What?
Well, she just woke up. We have a clapper. Do you remember the clapper? Yeah. Clap on, clap off.
Barking,
we have a lamp plugged into it in the living room. Because it's a special C-3PO clapper, which Carrie polishes every morning.
Got it for Christmas.
But Gabby,
I got a bag of Nerddom for Christmas. It was awesome.
Gabby's one of those dogs. Her nails click on the floor so much every time she walks by it, she turns it on or off.
And then she gets a jump scare.
The first time, because it talks. Yeah. C-3PO talks. The first time she turned it on by accident and it talked, she lurched right through the doorway.
But the point
it
here
was hilarious.
Is not how sad our little puppy is and how high strung she is.
No,
right?
The point is that you get the effect of the transition.
Yeah.
No matter what. That was my point.
Yeah.
You go right ahead with your
point. My point would be that you got to embrace those transitions because they're opportunities for growth and learning, right? Like if Sparty was anti-transition, he wouldn't get half as many treats.
That's for sure.
If you are like, oh, I don't want to transition to the next chapter of my life, you're not going to get to grow and evolve.
That's right.
I sometimes have a hard time with transitions.
Most people do. Some people don't, but I think most people have trouble with transitions.
Because there's security in what you know. And you know the last chapter of your life, or you know the last scene, or if you're a Sparty dog, you know the couch. And when you jump up off the couch, you can be like Gabby and expect a threat, right? Nobody wants to run into a threat.
Right.
But if you just stay on the couch, you don't get anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never know what the next chapter holds, do you?
No, and so you gotta jump into that as we jump into 2021.
That's right.
You're like, hey, it's a new year.
That's right.
Let's hope for the best and prepare for the transition into this new year and not, you know, be awkward about it or refuse it that it's even happening or, you know,
yeah. Throw it off. I forgot to mention that yesterday. It was one of those, what do you call them? The date was 1221. So
palindrome things, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Palindrome.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what it's called.
Let's go freeze some cash.
Freeze some cash?
Yeah, cold hard cash.
Do you have any to freeze?
I think I have $25 that I got for an author grant for being nice.
I have a coffee can full of coins.
Yay, thanks, Cheryl.
Oh, that's right, you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, so we have $25 and some change. Woo-hoo. Man, we could go to Taco Bell if there was one near us.
No, we can go to Ellsworth. That's gas money and Taco Bell right there.
That's not enough for gas money.
It's only 20 miles round trip.
Wait, the value of me being nice was only $25. That's sad if you think about it.
Really? That's the most selfish thing I've ever heard you say.
No, it's the value of it. Not for me, but for anyone.
The value has nothing to do with the monetary. The value is in the fact that you're so nice that somebody took the time to recognize it and elect you for that award.
I cried.
Yes, you did cry.
I cried a lot because I cry for good things.
Besides, $25 worth of Taco Bell is a lot.
I don't even like Taco Bell.
You don't have to eat any.
It's all about you, and you're telling me I'm the selfish one.
No, I said that was the most selfish thing I've ever heard you say.
Oh my god.
You are not selfish.
Yay, 21-21. Starting off great.
It is starting off great. So, thank you very much for listening.
If you want to like or subscribe or anything like that, just check out Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast. And we are everywhere. And you've already obviously found us this time, right? For the tips that go with the podcast, check out carriejonesbooks.blog. Right, Boo?
That's right, baby. I'm sorry. You know all this stuff because you're like the tech guru. You do everything.
I do everything. Yeah. But you can tell us about the music that everyone has heard.
The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. There's a link to that license and the artist's website in the blog.
And then the podcast notes.
The podcast notes. And the artist is Broke for Free, and the song is my favorite, Summer Spliff.
Does that mean pot?
Yeah, that's
a joke. I didn't know that!
It might mean something else too, but a spliff is a joint.
I wonder if that's what they meant.
Oh, well, we'll have to look it up, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. All right, thanks for listening. That's it, man. All
right.
If you want to support our Patreon, Carrie Jones Books, we have Twitter, and we have Facebook, and we have Instagram, and soon we're going to be on TikTok.
What?
I know, I'm terrified.
Oh, we'll have to enlist the aid of the 12-year-old.
You definitely need the aid of the 12-year-old.